Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
It actually looks good, works.
Hi, this is Reba Haas with Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro Realty.
Hey, that's Eric Osnes here, Home Street Bank, Home Mortgage.
Sorry, we were in the middle of our break discussion.
Having an engaging conversation about how
we got caught up in discussion.
How
but
to kill a certain plant that nobody likes around here.
Yes, but, English ivy. Oh.
That's on the noxious weed list.
Oh, it is noxious.
Is one and
fantastic.
Yeah, that's on the list. And just a reminder to the listeners, if you just have tuned in, we've got Michael Murrow from Michael Murrow Garden Design with us today, talking about design in the yard and landscaping. But besides English ivy, I know we're off on a little tangent about that. What's the other one? There's another flowering vine.
Scotch broom? Oh, flowering vine.
Scotch broom is also horrible. Honeysuckle, yes. You know what's so no, wait, not honeysuckle.
No.
It's a different one. It's because in the Midwest, this is a plant that's really hard to grow because it gets so hot. It just fries. And it's funny because I'll see seeds here at like a Home Depot or Lowe's or something like that. And I'm just amazed that they can have what is on a Washington State noxious weed list actually sitting on a retail shelf. Yeah. I'm like, wait, didn't somebody check this? Like, that shouldn't be here. Like, get rid of that.
Right.
Because it's one of those that I'll think of it while we're here doing the show, but it's one that I've had in other yards, and it just takes over and kind of starts choking out other.
You're not talking about blackberries, are you?
No, oh my gosh, no. Okay. No. Those things are hideous, but I mean they're tasty, but horrible.
They are deliciously hideous.
No, this is it's a flowering. It has almost like a trumpet shaped flower.
Oh, morning glory.
Yes,
morning
glory. That's it. Morning glory.
Oh, yeah. That is the worst.
See, if I talk to somebody in the Midwest and they're like, oh, I just love morning glory. I'm like, we hate that.
You just
where
have
I
to
live.
Keep choking it out, I think.
And if for some reason in Seattle, it's located a lot in the city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the project I was talking about earlier, we had a morning glory issue.
Yeah.
So
it's so hard to kill.
It's always ongoing.
Yeah.
You just have to keep at it. Mm-hmm. But it's downright scary.
Yeah.
You know, when you can see it growing, you know, in a couple months coming up, it'll be in its
that
fast
stuff
growing.
Grows about seems like a foot a day.
I think it
grows
can.
So fast.
It's like bamboo.
It's prime time, which is coming up. Stay on top of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big, I should point out that I am a big fan of organic gardening as much as possible. I don't like using any kind of pesticides. You know, we're always, and I've been doing that for 20 years.
You're all about your beneficial nematodes.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
actually, I am. I go buy ladybugs. Yeah.
So you're ahead. We're ahead of the curve.
Yeah,
now everybody's thinking about
it. When rain gardens first came out, I was all over it.
I had
the rain barrels.
Doing
rain gardens, though, to deal with runoff. I mean, I've just always been fascinated by that stuff.
They really work, and you can do a lot of interesting landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I bought a bag of praying mantises to kind of help with pest control, but they accidentally hatched in my house, so that one didn't, that one didn't end well.
Well, for at least half of them.
Yeah, and those get pretty big.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they're frightening.
They want to run
into
that.
A hatch in
they
your
scared
house.
The cat. Yeah. Well, let's just say one of my kids might have left the bag open and we went away for a weekend.
Oh,
and,
no.
And came back to a kitchen full of the little devils. They were everywhere. Yeah, that was fun.
That would have been very interesting to watch. Okay. I would have
liked
to see
that. It's like Jurassic Park in my kitchen. Yeah.
Practically surrealistic.
Yeah, that would have been kind of fun. Did you fry up a few, like crickets?
They were delicious. No. We just let them go. We set them free as fast as we could.
Okay, so you didn't dip them in chocolate or anything?
No, nothing like that. Although...
Although on some TV shows, that might be a delicacy, I'm sure. But anyway, all right, we're really getting off topic here. Okay, so we were talking about design principles, and then we started actually getting into the idea of how you incorporate hardscape with the landscape, right? Whether it's buildings, rock, water features.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first when you're talking about hardscaping, some of the choices, you know, there's natural stone that's been around forever. There's many, many different kinds of man-made tiles and stones and pavers. So we're going to be thinking about how's the space going to be used and so what's appropriate there. If you're going to sit furniture, probably don't want natural stone because you can get gaps. So some of those practical things, but also...
Are you thinking for like wobbliness of the furniture on that?
Okay. You have to be careful.
Okay.
If the feet aren't big enough on the bottom of the furniture, they can go right into one of
cracks.
Those. Yeah, and so you have to pay a little bit more attention than a lot of people want to.
Right.
I mean, it can be done. It does work, especially if you're mortaring. But it's just one of those little daily annoyances that you can completely avoid if you just think ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, and that's where someone having your kind of experience really comes into it. Because I know I'm pretty good at being able to visualize a space. And I had one contractor that worked on a house of mine in Seattle that he was surprised because I actually drew out my wraparound deck design with a split staircase and how I wanted raised beds and stuff to be in a paver stone. And he was like, oh, well, this is totally going to change by the time we get done. And I went, no, it's not. And sure enough, it looked almost exactly like my drawing when he was done. But I know that's not the case for everyone else. I just seem to have like a vision. But it's also because I've done this kind of stuff for myself for a long time, too, that I was like, I know exactly what I want. But when
you're
someone's
hired.
Yeah. Well, here's a little tidbit you don't know about me. When I left the tech industry, I started three companies. I started Team Reba. I started the Barking Babe Landscape Company, and then I also did sales consulting. So for a brief period of time, I actually did do some landscape design work, and it was partly because I just had all this real world experience that I started applying, and you know, friends of mine were hiring me and stuff, and it was because I could envision it and figure out the materials needed and the plants, but they had no clue,
right?
And so you know, but I have my house and I have some ideas around my house, but I would probably want to hire someone like you because at this point I don't have time. And I know materials and methods have changed quite a bit even.
They have. And, you know, I should back up just a little bit and say, you know, before we start making these finished decisions, we really want a comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because even if we're designing a portion of your garden, we want to make sure that the overall plan for the whole property
it's cohesive.
Continuity all the way through.
Yeah.
So even if we're focusing on just a patio, what are the surrounding areas going to be like if we're going to stage it or not do it all at one time?
Right.
Some people, you know, have a budget that they need to phase in over time.
Right.
So we're going to look at the big picture, the whole lot, and then you had asked about hardscaping.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of options. Again, I'll mention some of them. It's going to depend on how we're using the space.
Right.
Another thing that people just love, and a water feature, and it does not, it can be very, very simple or very elaborate.
Do they last well, though?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I just, you know, I sell a lot of houses, and there's a lot of pumps that go bad.
Right. Well, they do.
You're talking about, you're looking right at me. Yeah, I have a...
Oh, I forgot you have a pond.
Yeah, I got a pond.
Oh, so if you have an actual
I wasn't talking about pond. Your place. I was thinking about a house in Redmond I sold last year.
So, well, if you have a little small portable... water feature that is recirculating, you just plug it in. There's some decent ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just easy. They look good. Well, some of them look good. I have trouble finding ones I like. But they're not terribly expensive.
Okay.
And so, you know, in a few years, you may want something different anyway.
Right.
When it comes to an actual plumbed, refilling pond, there's maintenance.
Yeah.
Sure.
But like people I know that have koi,
they
usually have very elaborate systems in fact, one of my friends at a house they used to own, it had what looked like a stream coming down on the property, and then it would go in, and every twice a year they had to do some big maintenance project on it. And I always thought, I don't want one of those. Right. Well, but my husband used to have koi, and he loved that kind of thing. So he wants one again, and I'm like, okay, you get to work on it.
Well, and if they're constructed well from the beginning, They don't have to be that much maintenance.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
They need to be cleaned out. But, if you've got a good pump, if you have it installed by someone that knows what they're doing and all mm-hmm. the components work, you could be fine for a long time.
Okay.
As long as there's a few things like that, few maintenance things that you should do every year.
Like what?
But it is a commitment.
Okay.
Well, you want to make sure basic thing that you clean it out so that you're not getting a lot of residue and leaves and muck in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And also just your yearly maintenance on the pump itself. These are just really basic things. But if you get a program down and you stay on top of it, it doesn't have to be a lot of work.
So that's where your smartphone comes in happy, handy to send you reminders.
Exactly.
Of time to get the muck out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, landscaping around it. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. wonderful, all the different kinds of things you can do.
Okay. Well, so I want to make sure when we get into the final segment, we talk a little bit about things such as curb appeal. Because we're going into the main selling season right now. I'm starting to see a little bit of an uptick in new listings coming on. Not as much as we'd like to see, because our market is still really, really tight with inventory. But one of the things that comes up quite a bit in photographs and then just as people approach a house is, how does it look from the street? When you approach this property, are you immediately feeling like you're invited into it? And so I want to get some tips for the listeners.
Sure.
On how soon they should be working on that. And then I think also about when they invest money into that, what might be the potential of return on it, right?
And where do you get your bang for the buck?
Right, exactly. But what
I'm
are the best things
believer,
to go after?
I've thought about it a lot. I've worked on what I would call staging to some
mm-hmm.
degree.
Yeah.
Or, we could
Oh, we
be
totally
stage
the landscaping, yeah.
But, it all gets back down. Well, it depends on the situation. But usually, curb appeal, the first thing you see when you drive up, no matter how great the house is important
mm-hmm.
because
it
sets the stage.
Yeah, we always say going house hunting is like dating. First impressions are absolutely everything.
That's critical.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But they're better than dates because you can drive off and just.
There you go.
True.
Well, don't drive off. Stay with us. We'll have more with Michael Moreau, Landscape Design, when we come back here on KKOL Business Radio 1300.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.